Thank you for reminding me of that poem of Anais Nenet. I think it's a very powerful one. That in order to make change, I think we have to realize that the cost of staying where we are is more difficult, more painful than making the change, because otherwise we won't tend to make the change. If it's kind of comfortable enough to stay, then we won't tend to make the effort, and often it's challenging and it's difficult to kind of embark on new patterns and new habits and new ways of acting and new ways of being. Could think of it more broadly, like why does one come to a spiritual practice? You know, in some way there's something that we're wanting to, or things that we're wanting to maybe let go of, find a way out of suffering, find some greater freedom in our lives. And so what does it take to really to embark on that process of making change? And one of the key, I want to share a few reflections on the importance of intention in a process of change and changing habits. You know, what the research shows is that when, I talked about this earlier, when habits come into conflict, when established habits come into conflict with our intentions, the habits tend to win out. You know, because for the reasons I spoke about before, about, you know, these kind of more primal energies of the what Kahneman called the system one, you know, kind of the fight or flight, the more survival brain energies, really, or processes, have greater immediacy and greater speed and often greater urgency to them than our intentions. You know, our intentions might seem, oh yeah, I really want to do this, I really want to make a change. And yet when push comes to shove, you know, the example I gave with the car race, the research shows that the habits tend to win out. Now, that's not a determined thing, and I don't think of it as a ground for pessimism. It's kind of more of a reality check, I think, about the strength of habits once they're formed. And so what it says to me, I think, and many others as well, is that our intentions really have to be clear and have to be strong. You know, we have to be clear that this is something that I want to do, because if they're half-hearted, they won't tend to be, you know, to compete against those strong habit energies. And so we need to know kind of where we're going and why something is important to us. Yogi Berra said, if you don't know where you're going, you'll end up someplace else. If you don't know where you're going, you'll end up someplace else. And we need to, you know, if we, in relation to habits, we need to be clear about our intentions. You know, I think of three things as really being key. That first, intention is essential to habit change, but it's not in itself, it's not enough. You know, if intention were enough, then we'd always be able to make change just by wanting it, by saying, oh yeah, I really want to make this change. But it needs more than that as well. You could say intention is essential. You could say it's necessary but not sufficient. You know, that expression. We need it, but it's not enough on its own. We need other things as well. And the other things we need are we need to bring present moment awareness to the habit. We need the power of mindfulness too. We need the power of bringing awareness to the direct experience. Because the intention, if it is just an intention, won't be enough when they come into conflict, when we get it feeling that strong habit energy. Without bringing that energy into awareness, we will tend to go straight from stimulus to response. And that'll happen often before we can even connect with our intention and remember, oh yeah, this is what I wanted to do. Oh, why did I do that? You know, why did I act out that old habit? So we need intention, but we also need awareness. We need to bring the stimuli, the context. We need to bring the habit into the light of awareness. And then we need to repeat the healthier response consistently over time, because we need to counter that kind of strong habit energy that's come about through repetition. It's rarely enough to do something once or twice and then it's changed. You know, we mostly will need to confront the stimuli and the energies a number of times, perhaps over and over, until new patterns are established. And then when we look at intention, three key elements within intention itself, I think, are really important. And we're going to explore these in a reflection and some exercises before and after lunch. But just to name them first before we do the exercise. The first element in cultivating the intention to change a habit is, I believe, to remember and connect with what is most important to us. You know, what really matters? You know, our deepest wish, our deepest intentions. So looking at the habit or habits that we want to change in the context of our life overall, you know, and what really matters to us. So to step into that kind of higher level connection with our intentions. And then we can look at, okay, what are the habits, what are the patterns that get in the way of me living as fully or as happily or as freely as I want to live? So to be able to kind of connect with our deepest intention and then say, okay, what's in the way? What's making it difficult? What's an obstacle to living in alignment with our deepest intentions? And then the third element is to reflect on the importance of making change and making a commitment to specific steps to affect change. So those three, looking at our deepest intention, what gets in the way, and then how important is it to make a change, and then to make real commitment to change. And then when you're clear about what you want to change, for example, to cultivate a healthy habit, to exercise or to meditate or to do yoga or eat more healthily, or to let go of an unhealthy habit, you know, of eating, drinking, spacing out, judging ourselves, getting angry, you know, whatever it is, specify the steps you'll take to make the change. So the more specific we are about what we're going to do, the more likely we are to be successful. In the habit change research, these specific intentions are called implementation intentions. They kind of specify the, you know, the what, when, where, you know, what, when, where, how of what we're going to do, or at least some of those main elements. So, for example, if you were wanting to, you know, develop a practice of meditation, you know, that you might say, okay, if this is going to work for me, I need to have a set time of day when I do it. You know, otherwise I'm going to be pulled along by whatever the demands of the day are. So probably the best, I'm just hypothetically talking, I might say, well, the best thing for me to do would be before I even start the day maybe I have a cup of tea and then I sit down to meditate, or I do some exercise and then I do 20 minutes of meditation. So once I do that, I specify, okay, I'll get up in the morning, I'll have a cup of tea, I'll do 10 minutes of stretching, and then I'll do a meditation for 20 minutes. So that if I do that often enough, I can set things in motion to do that. So the more specific I can be about that, or if I want to exercise, when I come home from work, I'll feed the cat, and then I'll put on I have to remember the words because I have the English words in my mind. They call them trainers, but or various other words. But running shoes, let's call them running shoes. I put on my running shoes and I go out and take a run around the neighborhood, or I take a walk or whatever it is, or I go walk the dog or whatever to get exercise. So that really, to be specific, and I'll do that for half an hour when I get home from work. So the more specific I am about that each day, you know, I wake up, I'll have a cup of tea, I'll meditate, or in terms of letting go of a habit, for example, you know, if when I'm meditating or in my daily life, when I notice that I'm judging myself, a lot of us judge ourselves harshly and critically. Oh, there I go again. Oh, I'm doing it wrong. Or, you know, harsh self-criticism. So when I notice that I'm judging myself harshly for something, I'll consciously replace the critical thought with a wish of kindness for myself. So when I notice, oh God, I'm never able to do it, I'm always screwing up, you know, something like that. Instead of, you know, when I notice that, I say, oh, noticing that, may I be happy, may I be safe. You know, it could be just a kind of loving kindness, wish, aspiration or intention for ourselves. So that could be another way of kind of replacing a negative thought or a negative judgment with a more affirmative one or more positive one. And then in order to establish a healthy habit, we can make a commitment to do, if possible, to do it every day, preferably at the same time and place. Do it for a specific period. So don't say, I'm going to exercise every day for the rest of my life. Good luck if you do that. But more say, you know, between now and next Sunday, I'm going to do 30 minutes of exercise a day, and I'm going to do it when I get home from work or before work or get on the treadmill, whatever it is, but be very specific about it. And set a specific time. Do it for a limited time that is doable. Make it something that's doable, that's not too grand, that's too grandiose, too optimistic, too hopeful. Something that's doable. And then commit to doing that for a period. And then keep a record. Check off each day that you carry out the new behavior. Okay, I've done that. You might also, it can also be really helpful to have some system of accountability. You know, if there's somebody that you're close to that you could say to, you know, that this is what I'm going to do and I want to make a commitment to you. Maybe you do mutual commitments, that they make a commitment to you around something that they're wanting to do. Just having that, writing it down, making a commitment, being accountable to somebody else can be really, really helpful. And one final thing that's really important, that the research bears out, is to think about what will get in the way of me doing this. You know, what's an obstacle that I could foresee coming up that might make it difficult for me to carry out this new habit? So let's say that, you know, your habit is to cut back on or stop eating sweets at work. Maybe you're in a habit of, you know, going, there's a whole, you know, sweets, jar of sweets left in the reception area that you go into work, and every time you pass by, you grab some, you know, that kind of thing. So you might think, well, you know, I'm wanting to give up sweets, eating sweets at work. how would I deal with that? That's an obstacle, like when I come in. So it might be just by bringing, you know, if you could come in a different entrance, maybe that would be one way of doing it. Or it might be just to be very conscious, what, you know, knowing when you come in and when you leave, that that's a time of temptation, that you're going to be more present, you're going to be aware in that period. That might be another way of doing it. Or if, you know, somebody brings in, you know, for an office party or for some, you know, for a celebration, or every Friday maybe, you know, somebody brings in, you know, rich fruitcake or rich cake or something. How would you respond, you know, if that's an obstacle where somebody says, oh, you know, have some of that. Oh, it's really great. What will you do in that situation? You know, how would you foresee yourself responding? It's been shown in the research that this is highly effective to think in advance about what it is that might get in the way, what might be an obstacle to you, and then kind of envision in your own mind how you would work with that, so that when it does come up, or if it does come up, you're primed to deal with it. It's not like coming out of the blue and so that you gravitate towards the habitual. You've actually brought it much more consciously into the intentional realm, and then you're able to say, okay, this is how, you know, this is how I'll respond. So I think I'll pause here. And if it would be okay, why don't we sit again, and we'll do this as a meditation or a kind of meditative reflection. So this reflection invites us to get in touch with our deepest intentions, what we care about most deeply, and to identify, as I was saying before, what gets in the way of living freely and peacefully, fully, and then to make a commitment to specific actions to help make change. So just take some moments to sit comfortably, settle in. If it helps, take a deeper breath or two. Might begin this meditation by just thinking of a time in your life when you felt peaceful, happy, have a real sense of ease. It may be a recent time, maybe being with a particular person or a particular place. Maybe you might go back a longer period of time, maybe from when you were younger. Maybe there was a time and a place that you felt really a sense of ease or joy or peace or well-being. And if you can, just bring to mind a situation, a place, maybe a person that you're with, a place that you were. Just let yourself feel, if you can, any sensations or emotions that are connected with this memory. Could be this present moment. And now you might ask yourself, what is it that matters most to you if you think of your life as it is right now? And you think of your hopes for yourself. Maybe your loved ones, maybe for the world, but particularly for yourself and your own life. What is your deepest aspiration? What is it that you care about most deeply? What would be an expression of a life fully lived? What might that look like and feel like? What is your deepest wish for yourself and your life? Maybe there's a word or a phrase that might to some extent capture it. Might be living with peace, with ease, joyfully. It might be being in loving relationship with a person or with others. Maybe manifesting your creativity in a full way. Whatever your deepest wish is for yourself, what do you care about most deeply? What is that wish for yourself? And you might envision yourself living in this way, having achieved this objective, this wish or intention. And just breathe in and just notice how that feels in your body, your emotions, your mind. Allow yourself to feel whatever comes up for you. Meet whatever arises with kindness and with acceptance. What do you care about most deeply for yourself, for your life? What matters most? And allow yourself to take in whatever feelings are present. You might take a deep breath or two and just let go of that aspiration, that wish, or intention for yourself, and just come back into the body and feel what you're feeling right now. And now let your attention move to your life as it is right now. You know, your living situation and main relationships, work or other activities. Community. You just open to your life as it is right now. You might ask yourself, what if anything gets in the way of living out this intention that you reflected on? What gets in the way of living this out in your life here and now? So what gets in the way of living out this deeper intention for yourself and your life? Is there a behavior or a pattern of thinking that leaves you feeling unhappy, unfulfilled, stressed, anxious, ashamed, wanting in some way, or some other emotion or feeling? Is there anything that gets in the way of living really freely and happily and according to your deepest intentions right now at this time in your life? Right now. What gets in the way? What's an obstacle? You know, for some it might be wanting something you don't have, or wanting something to be different, or feeling distracted or disconnected or stressed or anxious. What gets in the way? What's an obstacle to living really freely and with great ease in your life at this time? And notice what comes up for you and how that feels in your body. Is there any tightness or contraction that comes up, or some other feeling? Is there a particular emotion or mind state that comes up? There might be some pessimistic thoughts, you know, I can't do this or I can't make change. And just notice whatever comes up. You might notice if there are some deep-seated beliefs that keep you feeling that things can't be accomplished or you're not going to succeed. And just notice whatever comes up, whatever is present. Now again, you maybe take a deep breath or two. And just settle back into the body, just feeling your body here. And the third question or third area is just to reflect on how important is it to make a change in this area. It might be to let go of an unhealthy habit, or develop a more beneficial one. How important does it feel to make a change in this area? And if you identify a habit or a pattern that you want to change, you might be specific about the steps you'd take to change the habit. So, as in the example I gave you, if you want to cultivate the habit of meditation, you might make a commitment. Now, each day when I wake up, I'll have a cup of tea and then sit down to meditate for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. Or if you have a habit of procrastination, you might say, I'm going to work on my taxes each day for at least 30 minutes in the evening. Or I'm going to work on the project that I've been putting off for 30 minutes each weekday. You might think about if there's a potential obstacle to carrying out this new behavior, and think about how you'd meet the obstacle if it arises. You might let go of this reflection and just come back sitting and finish this reflection with a poem by Mary Oliver called The Journey. I think this really speaks to what we're engaged in here, of kind of embarking on a new path, potentially doing that. She says, "One day you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble, and you felt the old tug at your ankles. 'Mend my life,' each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to shine through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice that you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save." As you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save.